We continue our study this morning on the person of Satan. I've entitled it Satan Revealed. We've been going at this for some time and still have a few weeks ahead of us. And I want to not hurry. I want to do it well because it's part of the whole counsel of God. Not a pleasant part, but a part that we need to be aware of. And so we're trying to break it down a little bit and look at a lot of verses. And so I would ask that you be prepared to turn. We've looked at Satan's relationship to God. We've talked about Satan and the Word of God. We've talked about Satan and other angels and Satan and the world. Those topics are behind us. Last week, we just barely got started on Satan and the unsaved man. We'll do that this morning, and then perhaps next week, at least, we'll start Satan and the believer. Of course, that's sort of the capstone of our study because we're believers and we want to know about what we should look out for and how we can combat the evils of Satan in our own lives. And so I hope that though you don't have to say you enjoy it, I hope that you're getting the meat of the message, that you're learning about the devil and our the enemy that he is, and that the Lord will use this. Last week we had 2 points under Satan and the unsaved man. Should be in your notes that we just handed you, I think on page 7. Am I right? Satan and the on page 5, okay? And so we looked first of all at he is worshipped by many as God. You don't have to look far to find that either. Now, maybe in our circles, yes, we don't rub shoulders with those people a lot, but there are many, many, many people who don't make any apologies. They believe in Satan and they worship him. So they worship him as their God. We also talked about how he puts evil in the hearts of the unsaved. And there's maybe some room for discussion about that and trying to develop our understanding, and I hope this will help us to do that. Does Satan actually somehow manipulate our thoughts? Our thinking is a physical process. We are physical beings, and there's electrical impulses in our brain. We don't understand it all, but God does, and perhaps Satan understands more than we do. Can he enter into those processes and affect the way that we think? Almost obviously so, in so many areas in the scriptures, and we're looking at some of those, the third of which, and this would be letter C in your notes, I think, he blinds the unsaved from the truth. Do you see that? Is that letter C? So we're on the same page. Letter C, he blinds the unsaved from the truth. Now, Paul was speaking of those who had refused his open and honest ministry to them. Paul was very open. He was very personable with people, but some refused. And he says this of them in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. And these verses are printed on your paper so that you don't have to do as much turning. It says, in whom the gods of this world have blinded the eyes or the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We've already looked at the first part of this verse, and we've learned that God here refers to Satan as the ultimate supreme influence for evil on this earth. He is, in a sense, like a god. The word world is the word eon, or in the Greek, it's talking about a period of time. It has a beginning and an ending. Okay, the word world is actually talking about an eon, a period of time, and it's talking about this world's age, not eternity, not a period of time in eternity or going out into eternity. In this age in which we live, in which Satan is turned loose and can do whatever he wants to within the perimeters that God has set, he is blinding the eyes and the minds of people. He makes them blind. Metaphorically, you could use that for when you talk about blinding the minds, it's darkening their understanding. They don't get it. Satan is responsible for a lot of people who don't get it. Now, if I was an unsaved person and a thinking person and somebody told me that, I would want to know how to get it. You know, if there's something I'm missing because of some outside force, I would want to be able to get it. And I would be praying that the Lord might reveal to me what He has blinded my mind from. The truth never dawns on them, though. Did you ever lose something and go out to find it? And you couldn't find it. You spent days looking. Right now, I'm looking for my pocket knife. It's a little three-blade pocket knife. Alan has one just like it, but I think it's really his. I think that my pocket knife is somewhere in the church or in my house, and I take it out, just a little pocket knife. If you see it, I'm looking for that. I've been looking at it for a while. Most of the time when I lose my pocket knife, and as soon as I decide I'm just going to forget about it, just go get another one about that, or right after I buy another one, I'll find it. And it'll be in the most obvious, it'll be laying on the table beside my chair, or just some in the floorboard of the car. Oh yeah, I use that here. You know, you never saw it again. Though you looked, you turned on the light, you searched, you put your hands there, you couldn't find it. That's the idea. Satan has blinded not our eyes but our mind to the things of Scripture. And they may be, you know, they may be interested, but they can't see it. Do you believe that? Satan blinds the minds of the unsaved. So what hope have they if they're blinded to the truth? They would have to have light shining and illumination. The Spirit of God would have to draw them and show them the truth, right? When God saves an individual, it's because He is involved in that process, because without Him, we would have no hope. Satan has blinded us. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. We're not dead physiologically, and we have a brain and we think, but in our trespasses and sins, we're separated in the spiritual sense from God forever. And Satan wants to keep us that way, so he blinds us from the truth, and particularly the gospel. And so we have to be careful to understand what the Bible says. Take this to heart. The people that we're witnessing to, they're blinded in their minds. They don't get it. And we need to be consistent. We need to be persistent. We need to pray for them that God would help them to see it, that He would illuminate the path for them to walk on. Now, did Satan control the minds, the thoughts, by direct physical manipulation of the mind? We would ask. And in this passage, we know he kept them from understanding the truth. And I think even beyond the physical circumstances, in their thought life, he kept them from understanding the truth. He's very, very powerful, but not more powerful than he who lives within us, right? Greater is he that lives in us than he that is in the world. Let's go over James chapter 3 and verse 15. It's also on your page. You can turn if you'd like as well. James addresses the heart condition of those who breed strife in the church. The troublemakers, and he describes them here. He says, this wisdom, their wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what's the last word? It's devilish. Earthly, sensual, and devilish. Doesn't sound very good. Wisdom, remember, is not what we know. That's knowledge. Wisdom is how you use what you know to make decisions. And so the wisdom that these individuals, these troublemakers in churches, is using is devilish. Devilish. Proceeding from evil spirits. There was a comedian years ago who made popular the phrase, the devil made me do it. Do you remember that? The devil made me do it. And a lot of things started getting blamed on the devil from that comedian's comedy. But devil doesn't do everything. Our flesh is capable of sin, and the world brings out the worst in us because we're creatures of dust. But Satan certainly is busy, and he is responsible, if you will, for the evil spirits, the demons that are in this world, and does indeed inflict those who don't know Christ as their Savior. Question, did Satan control their thoughts by direct physical manipulation of their mind, or by some outward circumstance? Which is it? Well, it's both, I believe. Obviously, from the scriptures, it's both. He blinded them from the truth and filled them with lies and caused them to come up with the wrong conclusions. Satan did that. He couldn't do it without manipulating their thoughts, I don't believe. The next verse is 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. Do you believe we're in the latter times based on that verse? Certainly seems like it, doesn't it? Talks about seducing spirits. That's the word where we get our word planet from. It's planos in the Greek. The context here, it's causing to wander from its orbit. That's the idea. Causing someone to wander from their orbit where they ought to be. Misleading them. The spirits mislead people. It is of these same apostates and their teaching that John warns his leaders in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Is that on your page as well? I don't believe it is. I'll give you time to turn if you like. I'm going to read three verses there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. These same apostates and their teachings, the ones that are spreading false doctrine, John warns about them in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, we're not talking about try the spirits as in you're communicating with the spirits, but we're talking about try the spirits as in they are inflicting men with their evils, and those men are presenting those evils to you. So you remember Christ said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He was looking at Peter, but he was talking to Satan, who was responsible for the words that Peter said. So it's in the context of what men say that he says that we ought to try the spirits. When you hear what somebody says, ask yourself, did that out of his mouth come from the devil or did it come from God? Like the Bereans, search the scriptures daily. See if these things are so. Be honorable, be pious, be spiritual minded and search the scriptures. Now, I'm your pastor and I try to search the scriptures myself, but I might make a mistake sometime. I pray not. I pray that the Lord won't let me tell you something that's not true. But if ever you sense that I can't agree with that, what he says, I hope you'll come and tell me. Please do me the favor of coming and showing me where I'm wrong, because I want to know. I promise you that if you show me and we can talk about it for a minute, and if I'm wrong, I'll apologize to everybody and correct that. Is that important? It is. And though you didn't ask, I'm going to do the same thing for you, okay? If you're wrong, I want you to know, because we don't want to be guilty of, we don't want to be victims of some man who's influenced by the devil to say things he ought not say. So try the spirits. Verse 2 here in 1 John 4 says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." Well, that's pretty easy, isn't it? "And this is the spirit of Antichrist." It's not talking about the end time Antichrist. It's talking about people who are against Christ. Okay, it's the spirit of somebody who's against Christ. In this particular sense, that spirit that's responsible for the words that individual shared. "Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." The spirit of Antichrist. Not talking about the beast. Did you know the Antichrist, we always talk about the Antichrist in the tribulation period, is never called the Antichrist. In the Bible, he's always called the beast. And he has a second beast who's referred to as the false prophet. But there are many people who are against Christ in the Bible. And they were living in John's day 2,000 years ago. They're still here. And therefore, John warns us, listen, when you hear something that someone says, if it doesn't sound right to you, try the spirits. Ask yourself, did that come from the Word of God or did it come from an evil spirit? We'll say more about this here in just a few minutes. The next phrase reveals the origin of these seductions in the verse. This is in 1 Timothy 4:1 on your paper. They are formulated, they are doctrines of devils. Do you see it? 1 Timothy 4:1 on your paper. Is that on your paper? Okay. Doctrines of devils. Greek word for demons is always translated devils in the King James Bible. The preposition, doctrine of devils, we could take that two ways, couldn't we? It could say the doctrine about devils, the doctrine of devils. That's not what he means. It could also mean the doctrine from devils, the doctrine of devils, the doctrine coming from devils or demons. And that's what he means here. How did these men become apostate? How were these doctrines of demons conveyed to them? Did Satan control their thoughts, or was it just through circumstance? See, it would have to be some thoughts, wouldn't it? It would have to be some manipulating of their thoughts as well as the circumstances. He blinded their minds to the truth, and he planted a lie in their hearts. And they, in turn, shared it with others. So what's our point? How can Satan affect unsaved people? See, we're looking at verses to say, to see what God says in answer to that question. Letter D on your paper, he can oppress. What does oppress mean? Somebody give me your definition. What does oppress mean? Yes. To push down. What else? To come up against. If somebody is oppressed, what would it be? It wouldn't be the finger coming down out of heaven, would it? It would be the circumstances. Oppressive circumstances. My thoughts, I can't get this off my mind, oppressed with a thought. Satan is capable of oppression in the physical as well as the mental realm. Okay? Peter's preaching at Cornelius' house. Who's Cornelius? Acts chapter 10. It's the place in the Bible. Acts chapter 10 is the first formal presentation of the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter had been on the housetop, remember, and saw the sheep coming down, told to eat. He said, Lord, I'll eat nothing unclean. And the Lord told him, don't you call unclean what I call clean. He was teaching him that the gospel was going to go out to the Gentiles. And then we have Peter in that house at Cornelius, and he says in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So I just use it for the phrase. In the context, the devil is oppressive. Oppressed, to exercise harsh control over another, to use one's power against another. That's oppressive. Governments can be oppressive, can they not? Yeah. This is oppression in a very specific sense. They're distressed by an illness or a hardship imposed upon the individual as a direct result of demonic activity, oppression. It's detectable. It's defined in Scripture and in practice. There was a man whose name was Dr. Will Hansen, Riverton Heights Baptist Church, Seattle, Washington. He posted an article back in 2003. I first found the article in 2010. It had been read 34,000 times. It's just real practical and to the point. I'm going to share some of what he said. He said, demons are evil spirits, angelic beings who joined with Satan in his rebellion against God and the kingdom of heaven. Revelation 12:4. We've said that already. Demon oppression, it's mild to severe harassment by evil spirits resulting from the opening of some doors to Satan's influence. That's interesting. His thought is that demons are not going to mess with you unless there's an open door into your life. I have heard testimonies myself from individuals involved in the occult personally that said the same things. Demons kind of need an open door, a way to get to you. He gives a list of symptoms of demon oppression. Would you like to hear them? Symptoms of demon oppression. Some of these may simply be the result of unconfessed sins or unconquered sin habits in the life of the believer. But it's this: abnormal or irrational fear. Demon-possessed or oppressed people are fearful. Irrational anxiety, abnormal, irrational loneliness, severe and or persistent depression that is not physiologically induced, oppression. I'll just add to this, though we're not talking about the saved people, but Satan and demons can oppress Christians as well. Maybe in different ways, but they do oppress Christians. And when I read that, I thought, persistent depression. Have you ever had problems with depression? Discouragement? I preached a message one time that Satan's most useful and most valuable tool for evil is discouragement. Discouragement. Lack of self-control, he goes on. Aimlessness, the feel that life is void of any purpose or meaning. Conflict with authority figures. Violence, reckless behavior, loss of fear of God. Outburst of hatred. Selfish ambition, especially an appetite for power. Irrationality, inability to detect correct contradictions. To detect or correct contradictions or other fallacious reasonings. He says, Satan can oppress the unsaved. How is he able to do that? He has to have some open door. What are those open doors? Here, listen carefully, because you may be doing some of this. Indulgence in occultic music, literature, art, and dancing. This is coming from the pastor that I mentioned. Possession, known or unknown, of occult records, tapes, books, pictures, charms, tools, and games. The unknown part of that is what bothers me. Could I have something? In Pennsylvania, you see these round things on the barns. They're big. Some of them this big around. You know what they are? They're hex signs. They're hex signs to drive off the evil spirits. They're all over Pennsylvania. It's sort of become a fad. Now people do it because they're decorative. But that's not all they are. There is something called the Ouija board. Have you ever heard of the Ouija board? People buy it for their children because it's a game put out by one of the game companies, a Ouija board. Ever ask somebody that's been involved in that if it works? It requires a supernatural intervention on the Ouija board. People have them in their homes. If you have one in your home, get rid of it. If you have a hex symbol, get rid of it. Right? What other things? What other doors or opportunity do we open at times to demons? Grudges against God. Grudges against others, poor self-esteem, rebellion against authority, dating relationships, close friendships with demon-oppressed or possessed people, sexual immorality with demon-oppressed or possessed people, authority figure acceptance of Satan's influence. A boss that's a Satanist. Not a good situation for a Christian. Seeking or giving consent to occult powers and occultive revelations. How many of you have ever read your horoscope in the paper? You're all liars. Go ahead, raise your hand. Did you never read it? Yeah, we have. Some of us have. And not good. Not good. Wrong use of drugs and alcohol, wrong use of herbs. Escapism through thrill-seeking, science fiction, soap operas, and some other addicting hobbies and activities. Thrill-seeking. The idea is escapism. We're big on entertainment. You know what entertainment is? Escapism. Going to escape reality a little bit. Have a couple of hours of relaxation while I let go of my brain. I put it on free rudder and I just let somebody take me where they will. It's dangerous. When we're entertained by individuals who are acting out a story in a world without God, Did you hear what I said? They're acting out a story. They're telling a story. They're acting in a sitcom or whatever it might be. They're telling jokes about a world without God. Christians ought to be careful. Bad temper, stubbornness, pornography, fascination with UFO phenomena, attempts to contact extraterrestrial beings, prolonged sleeplessness, meditation on anything other than God's revealed truth, chanting or other cultic or occultic forms of worship. There is a mystical meditation that's being promoted by all the Christian authors in the bookstore. And it's basically telling Christians, when you want to pray, just sit down a while. You can sit in a yoga position if you want to and just empty your mind. Don't think of anything. And you do everything you can possibly do to just clear your mind. They said, doesn't it sound nice? And wait for God to speak to you. You say, who's promoting that? Charles Stanley? The Grahams? Luis Palau? Almost everybody you could name. It's just like everybody's promoting this mystical meditation where you wait for God to speak to you. If you want God to speak to you, hey, don't wait. Open the Bible and read it. Prolonged sleeplessness, I said, chanting, any contact with demon oppressed or possessed people that threatens the demons. You say, well, I don't know if I know anybody that's demon possessed. Well, you consider some of those things. He said, maybe we do. Maybe we cast it off as ADHD or something. You know, there are some issues going on that demons could be involved in. Now, I'm not looking for a devil behind every tree either. But God says that demons are real, and demon possession and demon oppression is real, and we ought to believe the Bible. Letter E on your paper, he can enter into and possess. We talked about oppression, and I guess I've talked about possession a little bit too, but we'll talk about that more directly now. The first verse is Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, I have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed of the devil. Where did I hear that before? The Syrophoenician. Remember a week ago? Jesus retired to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. This woman of Canaan, a Gentile, came to him. She was an idolater. She was looking for help. And she believed, based upon what she said here, O Lord, thou son of David. She believed that he was the Jewish Messiah, the anointed of God, the long-awaited Prince of Peace, if you will. And she said, my daughter is vexed. She is under the power and influence of a demon. She's vexed. That could mean possessed. And obviously in this case it was, because the Lord Jesus remotely willed that demon away from that young lady. Possession. The next verse is Luke chapter 8 and verse 30. The maniac of Gadara. Do you remember that? In the little city of town of Curtsy on the side of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? He's speaking to the demons. And he said, legions, because many devils were entered into him. Many devils. Legion. Jesus wanted to point out that that an individual could be inhabited, could be possessed by many demons. Remember Mary Magdalene? How many demons? Seven demons were cast out of Mary Magdalene, a disciple of Jesus, that was with him all the way to the cross. Augustus had a Roman legion that had 6,826 men. Now, not all legions are that large, but there are many. There could be many. And this legion of demons had entered into this man. The same word, this entered into, the same word as if we were going into a house or into a city, into this man. The same word that would describe eating and we take into our body. So the meaning is obvious here. In that story, you remember the swine are later mentioned. The event took place in a place where people had no regard for the things of the Lord. It was a Gentile place. It was a city of the Decapolis. The next verses, John 13, 26 and 27. What are we saying? That demons can enter into the unsaved people. Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give sup." Who's he talking about? Okay, so we're talking about the Last Supper here. "To whom I should give sop, when I have dipped, and when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, and after the sop, Satan entered into him." See it there? Satan entered into him. So everything before that was from external influence, perhaps. But here we know he entered into him. "Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly." Judas had surrendered to the devil. He had surrendered and was ready to betray the Lord Jesus. This was sort of the final step. I always think of the Last Supper there with the Lord instituting the Lord's table. Before that, they had eaten the Passover meal together, and that's when the sop was passed that he's talking about. If you were there and there was a discussion about betraying the Lord Jesus and he said, "The person who'll betray me will take the sop from me," would you be thinking about that now for the rest of the meal? Because the disciples were wondering, "Who is it? Lord, is it me? Is it me?" I don't think I would have forgotten while we're sitting there in the in the presence of the Lord, I don't believe that I would have forgotten not to take the sop from the Lord's hand. Would you? You wonder if Judas didn't do it intentionally. Oh, he knew who he was. Pastor Hansen again says demon possession, the condition in which one or more evil spirits inhabit the body of a human being, taking complete control of it at will and expressing his or their personal thoughts through that body. Through the body. Symptoms of demon possession. Intense maniacal delight, evil delight in wielding power. Total incapability of submitting to any but demonic authority. In other words, they can't do right. It seems like they have to do wrong. Filthy, uncontrolled swearing without provocation, even toward total strangers. Irreverent, vile, lewd comments about members of the Godhead. Comments attributing gross sexual immoral acts to the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever hear any? Yeah, they're around now. This week I've heard those type comments. Sustains supernatural strength or intelligence beyond that which might come from adrenaline or some other physiological source. Strength. We just read about the maniac of Gadara. Did he have great strength? They chained him and he broke the chains. Irrationality to the degree that even the simplest spiritual truth are beyond comprehension. Boy, you don't have to look far for that, do you? Intense, highly disturbed reaction to mention of Jesus' name. I can tell you that demons do not like to hear the name of the Lord Jesus. If I were in a situation to where I knew that a person was demon possessed and I was asked to intervene to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, I would talk about Jesus Christ. I would talk about the blood of the cross. I would talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We would read scripture to that effect. We would sing, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you," because demons don't like those things. wild, unnatural facial contortions. Presence of two or more distinguishable, coherent personalities. Personalities capable of expressing themselves simultaneously. Maybe two different voices coming out of the same mouth. Unexplainable, uncontrolled terror, especially in the presence of a Christian whose faith is strong. Extreme, violent, reckless behavior. And the list goes on. Evidences of a demon-possessed person. What's the demon's goal when he possesses an unsaved person? Can you tell me? Death. If the demon could get away with it, he'd kill every unsaved person before they ever had an opportunity to respond to truth. Or ever had an opportunity to tell somebody else the truth. There are many open doors to demons and demonology. Do you know it's already 10:30? I just got started again. It's already 10:30. We're not going to be able to finish this. How do you close the doors to demons? This comes from the same article. Examine your life for any and all open doors. We just mentioned some of the open doors. Repent of opening those doors and confess as sin the opening of the doors by your the opening of doors, the opening of doors by your authority figures. So even if somebody else opened the door, you confess that as sinfulness. Take action to demonstrate repentance and to purify your life, including the following. Release resentment and grudges against God and others. Seek forgiveness of those you've offended by your resentment. Repudiate and renounce any and all occultic involvement. Seek forgiveness for that thing that you may have offended in. Totally destroy all books and other objects connected with it. Get back under the authority of parents, husbands, pastors, elders, boss, teachers, and or others against whom you rebelled. And seek forgiveness wherever necessary. Ask Jesus Christ to take complete control of your life with His will supreme, not your own. Dedicate your heart, soul, mind, and strength to be used for His glory, for the fulfillment of His purposes. So can a person have deliverance over a demon? Yeah, they just need to get good preachers like me to come alongside and pray for them, don't they? That won't help a bit. I might could be used of the Lord to show them how to have deliverance, right? But that's all. You could too. Anybody else could too. No big eyes, little U's. Any of us could help an individual. But what is deliverance? Faith in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. Salvation is deliverance from sin. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Salvation. If we knew somebody who was possessed of a devil, they're unsaved. How can they be delivered? They need to be saved. They need to accept the forgiveness. They need to have the power of God in their life to overcome evil. Salvation. I could tell them how. You can too. We can pray for them. We can irritate the demon a little bit. Wouldn't that be fun? To know that you are irritating the demon a little bit and make him not so comfortable where he is. Is this facetious talk? Is this ignorance? No, it's reality. If there were an individual possessed by the demon, we could make that demon miserable where he is and encourage that person to place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and they would find deliverance. The devil's powerful. You know what I'm tempted to do? No, I won't. I'll wait till next time. We'll finish up and then we'll start the devil and believers, next time we're together, okay? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to share these thoughts. I pray that you'd bless them. Father, they're not fun for us to talk about, But we are thankful for the wonderful truth that greater is he that is in you, in me, in us, Lord, than he that is in the world. We thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, who illuminates our path and reveals to us the dark plan of our enemy. Help us, Lord, that we might be us believers, might be overcomers, and Lord, that we might help those who don't yet believe, who are tantalized and oppressed and maybe even possessed of demons. Lord, help us to help them to find deliverance in Christ. For your glory and for your honor, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.